Welcome to AIM on Air, the official podcast of the Association for Intelligent Information Management. Founded in 1944, AIM is dedicated to advancing the information management industry. We represent a vibrant global community of information leaders committed to driving exceptional business outcomes through information management fueled by technology like AI and automation. You can learn more at AIIM.org. And I am President and CEO Tori Miller-Liu and your host, and we have a great guest joining us today. He is an experienced records and information manager, business analyst, and planner. He is a thought leader in the information management industry and considered an expert in records management and information lifecycle governance. He has earned several industry credentials, almost an alphabet soup, including the Certified Records Manager, Information Governance Professional, and he is an AIM Certified Information Professional. Currently, he is a lead analyst with the Records and Information Management team at Navy Federal Credit Union, but he previously held roles with Arrotech, IBM, Gimmel, Northrop Grumman, and a whole bunch more. Please welcome to AIM on Air, Todd Chernikoff. Todd, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
And I really do mean that it's an alphabet soup. You have so many letters after your name. And so maybe because you have this wealth of industry knowledge and you're clearly very credentialed, how do you explain information management to a layperson?
Well, really, really simply, I tell people that I help organizations figure out how long they need to keep their stuff and what to do with it, you know, when they're done with it, or if they need to keep it for a perpetual period of time.
So when you say what to do with it, to me that implies a value judgment. Do you help people understand the value of particular information?
Yeah, so, you know, in terms of value, we look at things such as, is there a regulatory purpose for keeping the information, records, data, whatever you want to call it, the content? Is there a legal obligation to keep it? Are there things such as lawsuits pending where we need to put stuff on hold? Do we anticipate lawsuits? Also looking at, is there an enduring need for it, something we might keep forever? We might put it into a corporate archives or an organizational archives. And is there other business value beyond, let's say, the legal and regulatory use that would cause us to want to retain it for a longer period of time than we're legally or regulatorily need to?
So Todd, you just mentioned the business value of information. And in the past year, I have heard from a bunch of our members about how the conversations around information management and why to invest in information management is shifting from compliance and risk to business outcomes and value. So how do you see that shift happening in your organization? And what are your thoughts about it?
Well, we're a highly regulated organization. We're in the financial services industry. So, you know, the NCUA, you know, all the other SEC, we have a broker dealer group. So I'd say right now we're still very much in the legal and regulatory and not exceeding those with business values in, you know, a preponderance of cases. We still have a few where we do. And as I've been telling people for years, when we look at the value to keep things longer, is you need to really articulate the business reason to keep stuff longer. You can't just tell me just because or just in case. That'll get you in trouble, you know, when the regulators come and the lawyers will have to try to explain that.
Well, I feel like that's also just good principles when you talk about data management or ethical IT. You should never collect or keep data that you don't actually need.
Right. Now, you know, when you talk, lots of organizations are keeping stuff for analytical purposes. And then the question becomes, how long is that content good for? You don't want to keep it longer than, you know, regulations or other business values without, again, a good reason to say, hey, we need this for this long because we need to track trends or something of that nature.
Yeah, and I've learned from personal experience, which we don't need to go into, that the longer you keep data, the harder it's going to be if and when you suffer some sort of breach or some sort of incident, or it's going to be harder to transfer that data when you're doing a migration. So there's always a debt to be paid when you retain data. It's just a question of, guess what kind of debt, right?
Right.
Yeah. So backing up to your earlier career, I was stalking you on LinkedIn and I noticed that your education and also your early career was in urban planning. I'm so interested in how did you go from urban planning to information management?
Okay, so it's an interesting story. So I've been with these, I was hired by the City of Alexandria, a local municipality in the DC area, to work for their planning department on a process to clean up the commercial property database to make sure that what was in the database about building size, building height, things like that was truly reflective of the property. So I literally would go out with tape measures, measuring poles, range finders to measure buildings. And
Oh, wow.
I did that for about a year. And then at the end of that period, they were about to kick me loose because it was the end of the special project I was working on. There was a vacancy in the department. So they hired me full time. I became the smiling face at the zoning counter at the front of our planning and zoning office. And on day one or day two of my full time gig there, the senior admin said, and I quote, "I don't want to do the records anymore. Make the new guy do it." So I became the departmental records officer. So I picked up the, how to do this manual. It's like, this isn't rocket science. My dad was a NASA engineer. Went there and said, I can do this. So I did that as, in addition to my day job as the smiling face at the front of the counter, stamping permits, signing off things, explaining zoning regulations, and pissing off a number of applicants or people who were thinking about doing things. Like they walk to the front counter and hand me something that say, "You're going to have to go around the corner of the city council. Law doesn't allow this. They got to change the law if you ever want to do this." So I did that in addition to my day job for say 6, 7 years. Found no upward mobility. Couldn't also find a lateral, slot in another jurisdiction to get a higher, paying job or more responsibilities. So come to pass that the person who was running the city's archives and records center was going to take on a new role in the department where that was. And throughout those 6 years or so, I built a relationship with the archives and records center. I'd send records, request records. They'd microfilm my permanent records and I'd quality check all those. So person who's was doing that job took another role, so I said, "Hey, manager job, I'll apply for this. I can do this." And they hired me, so I became the city's records administrator and archivist. And so that was, say, 1995, 1996, was my entry into the full-time information management world.
So what did you enjoy about it? Because it is somewhat different from urban planning. What
Well,
made you want to apply for that new role?
I thought, it was something new, something interesting. I thought it could, ended up taking me places. I just sort of thought it was a very loud, as with, the work I did in the planning office, I was sort of the regulatory type person. I'd look at plans, I'd apply the regulations to those plans and say, yes or no, or can you get a waiver for something? And so records information management to me was also a logical, rule-based profession.
So one thing that I find kind of interesting about what you just said is, as a non-information management professional, it wasn't part of your title, you noted that you were doing some of the same skill sets or tasks
Right.
that typically fall under an information manager. So looking at the workforce today, how pervasive do you think our information management responsibilities are? Is it just the purview of a records manager or information manager now, or do you see it more widely dispersed through the workforce?
Well, we have required training and a required RIM training. So we make sure people know what their roles and responsibilities are. Roles and responsibilities are enumerated in our corporate records management instruction or policy, as they are. I worked for 20 years or so in consulting, and most of that in the federal space. So you see the narrow regulations and the departmental regulations, agency regulations point to certain responsibilities of each and every employee, contractor, et cetera. So no matter who within the organization, including third parties, maybe even fourth parties, have responsibilities to make sure the information is managed well.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's really a shared responsibility.
Right. And if for some rare reason your job doesn't involve you either creating records, using records, researching records, there are, you know, those things such as personnel records that the organization has that affect you.
So having, by that account, it sort of sounds like having an understanding of how records and information are managed, not just useful for doing your job, but also useful for protecting yourself in the workplace.
Yeah,
or
exactly. Yeah. There, you know, there's that. I mean, you know, you want to make sure the records about you are accurate. Are you being paid properly? Is your leave being counted properly? Are your benefits being, you know, managed and documented properly?
That's really interesting. I actually never thought of it from that aspect. That part of understanding how data and information flow and are used is about being your own advocate and knowing
Yes.
This is what I'm entitled to. This is what legally the organization is responsible for giving me. Yeah, that's very interesting.
Right. And you think that you also think about there are third parties involved, you know, and even, you know, are you, your HR records might be out in the cloud. There are benefit, you know, the benefits management organizations, you know, the insurance companies, the pension people, you know, they've got records about you. You know, if for some reason you're in a regulated industry and you, let's say there's drug testing, there's chain of custody that your samples are going off to a third party for testing. You want to make sure that they're being treated properly because that can affect, you know, things that happen to you within the organization.
So let me ask you an annoying question then. When you're at your doctor's office and they hand you that HIPAA form that says basically we're going to have health information, how closely do you read it compared to the average person?
I've stopped reading them because they're all pretty much been the same years. But I do have a, you know, when they show up in the mail, you know, or the credit card disclosure things, they get saved for a period of time and then they get disposed of.
Yeah, in true records retention process, right?
I mean, it's helped. And there have been presentations I've done at conferences and whatnot where I've described, you know, getting ready to move 25 years ago and going through the attic and, you know, going through boxes and saying, yeah, this stays, this goes. And it's a constant thing here at home. I went, I guess, last summer or fall, I went through some closets and looked at boxes and said, you know, stay, go. And it's not just, you know, paper and things. It's like we had a plumber in doing some stuff and I have a closet here in my office and they were literally in that closet to fix a problem in the upstairs tub drain. And, you know, I decided to go through some things in the closet and there were some, like, you know, baseball caps that I've probably been collecting for decades and decades. And it's like, you know, stay, go, stay, go. So managing content as well as managing actual, you know, artifacts is a thing we do in our homes all the time.
You're like the Marie Kondo of information management. Does it bring me joy? No.
Right. No more joy. I mean, I found, and hiding in the closet, I knew it was there. It was like a teddy bear, you know, from when I was a kid. And so if you look out on my Twitter profile, you'll see my little Smokey the Bear from, you know, 60 some years ago.
Only you can prevent forest fires, Tom.
Exactly, because someone I know who works in a federal department that sort of deals with some of that stuff made some comment or had a picture of Smokey. Smokey the Bear was on top. This guy runs the National Agriculture Library. It's located at the Beltsville Ag Center, right off the Beltway and Route 1, not too far from here. And there was a picture of some Smokey the Bear guy standing on the roof of the library.
Oh.
Here, you got that. Look at this.
He went up to you.
We're trading photo records.
Okay, so I have a question because we might have listeners who aren't as familiar with the industry as you are. You've mentioned a couple different roles so far. You've talked about archivist, you talk about records manager, information manager. What's the difference?
Well, your records manager or records management looks at a specific slice sometimes, or it depends upon how your organization is created. With where I work, we deal with regulating sort of internally the records and the information part. There are things, you know, there's data, which we have a data governance group. And it depends upon, again, how you're set up and how your rules are. In some records and information management people, or some records managers might also deal with classification for security purposes. That doesn't reside under my purview or my group's purview. That belongs to our security group or our security department. They're not even, and information security doesn't belong to the information management group. We're called Enterprise Technology Services. Information security belongs to the security department.
Okay.
It all depends upon on where you work and how things are set up, what your responsibilities might entail.
That's
But
fair.
you know, and also it depends upon how you look at the model of how you relate information, records, data. You know, some places have different models of how they look at it. Information might be the overall big picture. And some in the 30-year-old model, it was there was data, there was information within that, you know, sort of a concentric ring model. And within the information, there was records. So I think of it more as the information as the broader spectrum. Data structured stuff, for the most part, is, you know, sort of a subset therein. And then records sort of rides across all that. So some of that structured stuff might be records, and some of it's probably not.
So, I guess if we were making a recommendation to someone new to the industry, what I'm hearing is don't take the job title at face value. Read the
Correct. I
description
mean,
carefully because it could be different depending on the org,
correct.
right?
And also depends, you know, records information management, specifically records management, may reside in all sorts of different places. I've worked in everything from the historic office in a municipality. I was the records manager for the NASD, which is now FINRA, and records was under the facilities department. My boss was in charge of real estate and things like that. So, you know, she was our, you know, she would lease space, and you know, we had offices in New York and about a dozen other places across the country. So, you know, she was in charge of, you know, all the physical buildings and spaces.
So for most organizations, where do you think the information management team should reside?
Well, you know, let's say to be a little bit more specific, where does records management reside? Because, you know, when you say information management, I'm going to immediately say the IT department,
Okay.
because they've got most of the, you know, content within their systems. Right now, I do work within the IT structure, the Enterprise Technology Services department, but I say you put it wherever it has the most influence, where it can get the most money. And so that might be, you know, in some places it's the CEO's office. It could be in legal, could be compliance. I've even heard of it in some places in HR for whatever reason that is.
Yeah, I guess again, it depends on the organization because if you have a huge amount of staff and most of your records management efforts are around HR records, that
Right.
could make a lot of sense.
Yeah. I did a lot of consulting at the ETA, where my first client was. I worked in the Superfund headquarters office here in the DC area. And back then, that was like 1998, I think, 96, 98, somewhere like around there. Records management was in facilities, or COPS and MOPS, as someone called it. And now I came back to the EPA, you know, after a number of years, and it was then it had moved into the IT department.
Yeah, facilities is not one that I would have guessed. I hear a lot of our members are increasingly in IT. I hear HR, legal, sometimes finance. Yeah, but I agree. Objectively, you
Well,
kind of hear information and it goes to
in
IT.
facilities or something, they've got storage spaces, they've got warehouses.
True.
That's probably why you see that. They move boxes. Boxes move.
Although, I wonder if these days do you think that's less common because there's some correlation between records management reporting to facilities and digital transformation,
Oh,
the
definitely,
right,
definitely.
yeah.
As IT gets more money, more influence, and more of the records and information are in digital form, it only makes sense.
So let's go back to your early career, because you were essentially told to take over records management. We have a lot of community members that come to AIM because they've just been sort of dumped on. They've gotten some project in information management. They're not quite sure what to start, where to start. What's your guidance to someone who's brand new to the field and they're grappling with a new project or a new responsibility around information management? Where do they start?
Well, I guess, in some cases it might be, looking at the department's either rules about, information management, looking for educational opportunities within. If you have, let's say, a learning and training piece within your organization, there might be some learning resources that could help you specifically how your organization treats information, records, content, data, whatever you want to call it. Or, alternatively, look externally at places like AIM, like ARMA, all the different associations that deal with records and information management. And if you have a specific slice of something, is it privacy? Go to like IAAT. There are lots of resources. Now, some of them depends upon the organization. They might be available for free. They might not be. You might have to join or pay. Sometimes you might be able to find some of those paid resources for free, not in a proper place.
Todd,
I'm just saying that,
recommend that on the podcast.
right. No, but the thing is, you and a person like me want to make sure people go to the authoritative space to find that stuff,
Yes,
because when it's elsewhere, you never know about its validity.
and I guess we should do the PSA for anyone listening that use Google and any AI engine, whether it's ChatGPT or Claude or Bing, sort of at your own risk.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what
I
I'm
would go to
saying.
the source if you're really looking for the standards.
Right. And I've one of the things I've done within other organizations is work in standards development. So I do have experience as a member of the standards development committee, and I've done that sort of on the real, recognized. And I've also been through other sources handed things like, let's say, updates, drafts to things like ISO 15:49, and say, here, make some comments, and we'll make sure they get sent to the right place.
I'm
So,
noticing a trend in your career of trial by fire.
right, and then, as you say, being a thought leader and a considered somebody, someone an expert in the field, people turn to me for questions
Yeah, because you've
and
been
feedback.
there. Why should they suffer if Todd suffered for us?
There you go.
I'm
Exactly.
gonna get you a t-shirt that says that.
Thanks.
So going back to your LinkedIn profile, one thing that really jumped out at me is you talked in your bio about you like to help organizations govern information assets by connecting people, process, technology, and information. What does that mean?
Well, you hear a lot, and the people, process, technology, I've seen that, those linkages in a number of places. And it skips, the content, the information that actually goes into those processes and technology and is used by the people. So why is that piece left out? Why aren't people talking about what they're really talking about? Why aren't they recognizing we're really talking about these information assets? And how to use them, how to maintain them, how to keep them, how to get rid of them, make sure they're current and usable.
And I think by focusing on the usage, what you're really saying is the information and the tools are important, but never as important as the people making the decisions about what
Right.
to
And
do with that.
that's why we, maintain and make available information and records, is so that we can use them, we can develop processes, we can develop products, we can prove our worth, we can prove the organization is doing right by regulations or the customers. It's the asset. This is what we're using. We have to make our organizations, work. And even if you sell goods, you sell services, there's a lot of information and information flow and process and tools that go behind that to make sure the product is planned, built, depending on what it is safe? Can it go out the door? Can you fly in it? Can you ingest it safely?
Ugh, so now we're getting into pretty high stakes, right?
I spent a few years at the FDA as a consultant, so that's what I think
You
about
got your fair
the
share then, yeah.
pharma process. And I know pharma lawyers who do things and pore over the records and information and litigation content, things like that.
It's so easy to think of data as just sort of a static thing that you can leave or take, but a lot of data really is about life or death situations. It's
Yes.
very important from
Right.
everything from lawsuits to health and safety. You need data
And government compliance.
and government compliance. Yes, so it sounds like at Navy Federal Credit Union, you have a very robust information management program and team. Can you tell me about maybe an interesting project that you're working on right now, or something you've recently worked on? What's sort of top of mind? What are some big priorities for you right now?
Well, I mean, my priorities are in the governance space. So I do things such as make sure our policies are updated annually, our record schedules are in order, and they're reviewed with the user community, the stakeholders, the departments, legal, compliance, my bosses, my boss's boss, my boss's boss's boss, before I send them down to the intranet people to publish. So things of that nature. I'm also now sort of getting more involved in the litigation end of things. A person who sort of reports to me unofficially, is our litigation support person. So he works with, making sure legal holds come out of, the Office of General Counsel, that they're tracked, that applications that we buy, applications that we build, properly can execute legal holds, and we know who to call upon to push the button to make sure records information stay if there's a legal hold. So I'm moving more into that area. But governance is sort of the main thing that I do. But something that we do across a lot of the people within our team, and I'm not the boss, I've got a boss above me within this team, is we make sure that the systems that we buy, build, develop are in compliant, that we've got rules. Systems have to be able to keep the records, identify the records, associate them with retention periods, place legal holds, remove legal holds, searchability, usability, all those different things. So we work with the developers, we work with the teams, we work with the user, the whatever department or users might be asking for these systems to be built, acquired, et cetera. And sometimes, depending upon the complexity, we might embed a person like me, one of our analysts, in that team. So, for example, a few years ago, we were looking to get a cloud-based HR system. So they were out, shopping, and so I got embedded in that team to help make sure that what we bought met our RIM needs. So I was there from the RFI stage, make sure that records management requirements were in the RFI through the process to interview, see demos, et cetera. And now that system has been brought on board, and we're making sure that it does what it's supposed to do continually.
So it kind of makes sense then that you and your team are in IT because it sounds like you're having an increasingly big role in project and software implementations.
Yes, and I do. I've done presentations. I might even done I've done one in an AIM show about and aligning records and information management requirements with development and implementation.
Yeah.
So, and the key thing that I tell people, and I've been telling people, for 20 years or more, that you got to make sure you do this. And the earlier you talk to the records and information management people, the easier it's going to be to make sure the systems do it right. And one of the things I've noticed, even say back in, you know, 2000, say 20 or 24 years ago now, that there are rules in, within the federal government, you know, things like OMB Circular 130, I believe, that say you've got to put RIM in your systems. And people have been ignoring that for decades. And it's plain as day right there in the regulations. And so it's shocking that, you know, I think it's getting better because, you know, we're relying more and more on our electronic applications, our systems to keep and manage records. So it's become more important. It's the visibility is being raised, but for decades, people have been ignoring or not knowing what the rules are. So getting
Wow.
your own people in front of your system developers is the way to do it.
And that standard that you mentioned, does that apply to all industries or just
No,
government?
that's a federal government requirement
Federal
internal
government.
on the Office of
Okay.
Management and Budget.
But a good lesson to be aware of what standards might apply to your
Yeah,
organization, especially if you're
absolutely.
developing software.
Yeah.
That's great. So, final question for you, Todd. What should information leaders be thinking about right now?
As always, making sure that your systems do what they're supposed to do, that they execute on the RECs and information management rules of your organization. And those rules will include rules from your regulators above. And eventually, you know, the auditors will catch up with you. Sooner, you know, sooner or later, you'll get asked those questions, you know, why doesn't your system do this like it's supposed to? Or why aren't your procedures telling you to keep and manage records and information according to the rules of the organization?
I like that. Do the right thing, even if no one's watching, right?
Right, because they really are watching.
Yeah, eventually they will. They'll
And
find you.
another of my roles is to be the liaison to our internal audit function as well as our department's risk management group. So
Wow.
I hear about these things.
Yeah.
And
It's
I've seen
tricky.
it. I did a stint while I was working for some one of the consultants of many that I've worked for at the FDIC within their inspector general's office, and seeing how the inspector general's office was or wasn't following the rules and how they were applying the rules to the agency as a whole.
That's interesting.
So
Well, we've
you can,
talked
yeah, I've seen it
about,
from the industry side and from the regulator side.
yeah. Well, and I imagine that gives you such an interesting perspective on your day-to-day job when you've sat in both roles in a lot of ways. Makes
Yeah.
you much more understanding of the big picture.
Absolutely. When you see what's how it's cooked, you have a good understanding of what's happening.
Well, Todd, we've talked about a ton of topics today, and I think you've really hit on the intersection of information management and records management with so many other things, from compliance to standards to software development. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with AIM on Air, and thank you for your membership. We appreciate you.
Well, thank you for having me, and it's a good organization to be associated with.
Thanks, Todd.
Yeah.